Good morning. So today we're going to be carrying on this series that we've been looking at over the last few weeks called Meals with Jesus, or Come Dine with Me. And we're looking at this because when you look at the Gospels, it's just so interesting to see the different people that Jesus eats with and what happens at these meals. You kind of got when Zacchaeus and Jesus meet and they have a meal, and it completely changes Zacchaeus' life. Jesus is the kind of guy who'll have food with the kind of people that no one else will. So it's really interesting looking through the Gospels and looking at meals with Jesus. That's what we've been doing over the last few weeks. And today we're going to be looking at the last meal that Jesus has with his disciples on earth, which is breakfast on the beach. While I've been doing this series, I've got you to ask a couple of questions to each other and have a little discussion about food this week. This week's no different. So a couple of questions for you. One is, if you could have the same meal every day and not get bored, what would that meal be? Okay, and when you've had a little think about that, then if you've got a meal that kind of represents you, what would that meal be? Oh, interesting. Okay, so the reason I ask you that is because I don't think Jesus was particularly adventurous with food. He seems to have a habit of, well, you look at the Gospels, it's bread and it's fish. So Jesus feeds the 5,000. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago. And what does Jesus do? He's capable of creating any meal he likes because he's the Son of God, and he makes bread and fish. And then just a couple of chapters later, when Jesus feeds the 4,000, it's a miracle we don't talk about much because it's 20% less impressive, maths. Then what meal does Jesus provide? The disciples are thinking, oh, I wonder what we're going to have today. And Jesus said, bread and fish. You thought we could have rustled up some tartar sauce. And then when we get to the Last Supper, then unsurprisingly, there's bread and there's wine this time. I reckon there was probably fish as well. Anyway, my point is that Jesus doesn't seem too adventurous with food, which is why I really like this story, because it's the last one Jesus had with his disciples. You can guess what the meal is. It's bread and it's fish. But it's a good story because it's one that kind of links back to a lot of other stories through the Gospels and makes reference to those things. So it's quite fun to look at. And there's quite a few things in there that I think are really interesting and pertinent to us. Just to set the scene for us, the disciples who have spent 3 years with Jesus, learning from him, listening to him, hearing what he has to say, seeing the miracles, copying Jesus, these disciples have just witnessed him die. So the guy that they have been following for 3 years is dead. Having ridden into Jerusalem, and they were so excited that he was going to become king after 3 years, and he gets arrested by the Romans, and he's died. And so you can imagine the distress and the disappointment and the anger that all of these disciples are facing. And they're all going through this journey of kind of, I imagine, a bit of resentment and so many doubts and questions. And we read in the passage that Simon Peter, who is my favourite disciple because he only ever opens his mouth in order to stick his foot in it, which I can relate to, Simon Peter says, I'm going out to fish. It's a bit like, oh, some people go to the pub, don't they? I'm off to the pub. When you get grumpy, some people go to the shed. Oh, I'm going out to fish. That's what Peter says. So he says, I'm off to fish, and that's what he does. The other disciples go with him. Now, it's not surprising that they go out to fish. As I said, this passage reflects back on a lot of other stories in the Gospel. So this is from Luke 5. This is the first time that Jesus meets a lot of these disciples, right at the start of their journey together. When he had finished speaking, that's Jesus, he said to Simon Peter, put out into deeper water, let down the nets for a catch. Simon says, we've worked too hard all night and we haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets. And when they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signalled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. So when they do so, they catch a huge number of fish. Simon Peter falls at Jesus' knees and says, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man, because they were astonished at such a great catch of fish. So when Jesus meets the disciples, they've been fishing. When Jesus has died and resurrected, he meets them and they're fishing.
Do you ever have the same conversation with people again and again, and you think, when will you ever learn? The same thing again and again. I have this because I try and teach teenagers maths. And so, like, say I'm teaching square numbers, 3 squared, it means times it by itself. 3 squared is 9, 3 times 3. And I tell them this, and I tell them to write it down, that 3 squared means 3 times itself, 3 times 3. And then for those of them who are visual learners, I get them to draw a square. And I put 3 and I put 3. And I tell them what's the area of the square, and they say 9. And I say, good, because it's 3 squared, it's 3 times 3. So I get them to draw that. And then I'm going to get them to do some examples. I'll get them to do 4 squared and 5 squared. If they don't get it, I'll get them to draw the pictures out and maybe count the squares and work out that they do 4 times 4. And they get it. And the next day I say, what's 3 squared? And they say, is it 6? Smack my head against the wall. No! And Jesus, after 3 years, poor guy, has been teaching these people. He's been showing them how to live. He's been doing miracles. He's been healing them. He's been saying, this is the way that you bring the kingdom of God onto earth. And they still don't get it. And they go out fishing. The trouble is, 3 years ago, Jesus said, you're not a fisherman. Come and follow me. Come and bring my kingdom onto earth. Come and be a shepherd of men. Trouble is, 3 years ago, Jesus said that. And 3 years later, they still think they are fishermen. They don't understand that they were never meant to be fishermen. They were called to bring God's kingdom into earth. Ever find yourself doing the same thing again and again? Even if you don't feel you're called to do it, but you feel trapped by it. For these guys, they know what they were called to do. They were called to bring God's kingdom. They were called to be shepherds. They were called to feed the sheep. They were called to bless people, but they keep going fishing. Which I could understand if they were any good at it. Like, I'd understand if they were like, to be honest, Jesus, now that you've died, we're going back to what we were really good at because we were excellent fish. They were rubbish. I've been fishing once in my life and I caught one fish. I thought that was all right. It took me about an hour. Fishing all night, nothing. 3 years later, fishing all night, nothing. These are useless fishermen. And you feel, I can understand if you're any good. But they keep going back to fishing. And I think it's a wonderful image of these guys going round and round the Sea of Galilee, catching nothing. Because they don't believe what Jesus said about them. Because 3 years earlier, Jesus said, I'm calling you to be shepherds. I'm calling you to bring God. I'm calling you to follow me. But when things got difficult and they got discouraged, they go back into their boats and they go pootling around the Sea of Galilee again and again. And they don't catch anything. We do it, don't we? We plug away at fruitless things that we were never called to do in the first place. It was never meant to be part of who we are because we don't know what to do else. And we get discouraged, so we go back to that thing. We go round fruitlessly doing the same thing again and again, trying to fish when you were called to be a shepherd. If you feel like that, I think what Jesus does next will speak to you. I really hope so, because I really like this next bit. In my Bible, it talks that this is where Jesus restores Peter. And that's exactly what happens. Just to put it into context, I'm sure many of you will know, just a few days before this happens, Peter, favourite disciple, Peter has been round the campfire while Jesus is being arrested and tried. We know the story, don't we? Jesus is being arrested and tried. Peter's outside. Peter, you know Jesus, don't you? No, I don't. I've never met him. Hey, you look like one of those Galileans. You must know Jesus. No, it wasn't me. I'm sure you are. I can tell by your accent. No, it wasn't me. I swear I've never met the man. That's Peter. The one outside while Jesus is being tried and arrested, denying he ever knew Jesus. Peter has messed up big time and is very embarrassed and is very guilt-ridden. And I think there's something about Peter, whose life is not where it wants to be, and he keeps going around doing the same things again and again, and it's not bearing any fruit because he's a rubbish fisherman and he was never meant to be a fisherman in the first place. And that's Peter's life. And he's depressed and he's angry and he's disappointed with God, and he's out on the lake and he's frustrated and he's not catching anything. And Jesus meets him and he says to Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" The Bible's good, isn't it? Because the little details are important. When we read it, it said, when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. See, Jesus has caught more fish than these guys have, and there's no suggestion that he even had a boat. But anyway, these are the little details. When they landed there, they saw... can imagine them sitting... I think they knew it was Jesus immediately. I don't know why he had to like do some more stuff before he said, "It is the Lord." You're like, ah, fish and bread. Oh, I know where this is going. Anyway, never mind. They landed. They saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. John puts that little detail in there deliberately. It says there was burning coals on it. There are only two times in the book of John that they mention burning coals. You can guess where the other one is. I'll read it to you. It's John 18. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "No, I'm not." Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood and warmed himself with them. We've got two parallel coals. We've got Peter warming himself by the coals, having just denied his best friend, his rabbi, his Lord, his King. He denied he ever knew him. And there's Peter outside while Jesus is being arrested and tried. There's Peter warming himself on those coals. And then a few days later, Jesus says, "Come round, come round. I've got some fish and bread, obviously. And do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Around the coals. That's why John puts it in the Bible, that there's only two mentions of the coals. One where he's denying Jesus, one where Jesus is restoring him. And so the question that we've got to ask ourselves is, which fire do you want to warm yourself by? Which fire do you want to warm yourself by? Because when we find ourselves poodling around doing the same stuff that hasn't got much fruit and we were never meant to call to do it in the first place, and you talk to people, so often it's because back somewhere in their past something happened that they can't get past. Back somewhere in the past they made a mistake and they've never forgiven themselves. Back somewhere in their past someone hurt them and they could never get past it. And they're still holding all of that bitterness. And you talk to people and you're like, "Well, why don't you try doing this?" And they're like, "Oh no, I could never do that. Because when I was a teenager, the teacher told me I could never amount to anything." Or you meet someone and they feel like they're stuck in a rut in their family. And you say, "Oh, why don't you sit down and have this conversation?" They say, "Oh no, no, no. We tried that a decade ago. And it was really bad and they didn't talk to us. So we can't do that anymore. We can't do that anymore." You're talking to people who are stuck in a rut like Peter is, going around trying to catch fish and not catching anything. And the question is, which coal will you warm yourself by? Do you keep going back to that fire where you denied Jesus? Do you keep going back to that worst moment, that worst case scenario where you didn't have the courage to say, "Yes, I know Jesus"? When we're stuck in a rut, do we keep going back and warming ourselves by that coal fire? But Jesus is there with bread and with fish and a coal fire, saying, "Come and warm yourself here." Jesus offers us somewhere new to make ourselves at home. Jesus offers us somewhere else to be fed and to be warmed. Jesus says, "Forget that coal fire. I'm building you a new one." It's obvious why Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" three times. It's because Peter denied Jesus three times. And the third time, Peter gets annoyed because he realises where this is going. And I think that there's a big question for us here, that Jesus is replacing the disappointments and the regret and the pain of that coal fire, that moment that we let God down, that moment that we can't get past. Jesus is saying, "Forget that one. I'm going to replace it with a better fire. I'm going to replace it, instead of you denying me three times, I'm going to replace it with you saying, 'Yes, I love you,' three times." Jesus says, "That thing that happened 10, 20 years ago that means you're stuck in a rut, I'm going to replace that. with something much better. Because you were never called to be a fisherman. You were always called to be a shepherd. You can spend a lot of time looking at this story. You can turn it over. I really like that little detail about the coal fires. I've never seen that before, never read that before. You can spend loads of time, like 153 fish. Why are there 153 fish? I looked that up. I spent significant time looking why there were 153 fish. And I'll tell you, no one cares. Actually, that's not true. A lot of people care very deeply, but no one knows. I read that 150 represents the three of the Trinity, and then the other three represent Peter, James and John. I don't know why. Anyway, I read loads of this nonsense. But I don't know. I don't know why there's under. If you've got a decent answer that's better than Google gave me, then by all means, all the commentaries I've read. who counts? Who? Honestly, Jesus has already got bread and fish. Obviously, they get like a load more fish, and someone's like, "Right, before I have a word with you, Jesus, I know that you died and are now back to, from the dead. But can I just make sure that I get my fair share of fish?" Hold on, this man is literally just raised from the dead, and you're just in the corner being like, I'm sure there's another sermon in there about not focusing on that and focusing. Anyway, whatever. That's for another day. Sometimes we get hung up on these little details, don't we? And it is easy to overcomplicate it. I really like the fact that Jesus, who is just raised from the dead, who is meeting Peter, and he's got so many questions. Peter's got to be like, what's heaven like? What's hell like? I don't know why he doesn't ask all that. He's got so many questions, like, where have you been? Where did you get these fish from? I've just been fishing. So many questions that Peter could ask Jesus. So much unsaid stuff that, of why are you still fishing? You were never meant to be a fish. But Jesus just says three questions. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And then says, if you love me, then feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Follow me. Christianity is not that complicated. Jesus says the same question to us that he was saying to us 3 years ago, that he was saying to us 10 years ago, that he was saying to us 5 minutes ago. Do you love me? If yes, then follow me. We get caught going round fruitlessly trying to be fishermen when we were never meant to do it. The question Jesus asks us is still the same. Do you love me? Will you follow me? We've got a better coal fire that we can burn ourselves, that we can warm ourselves on. We don't have to keep going back to those same mistakes, those same things that we regret. We can come to the new one, and Jesus is still saying, do you love me? And if you love me, then follow me. Let's pray together, shall we? There's a little bit of liturgy I found around this passage that I'm going to read, then we're going to spend a few moments in silence before Charity comes and leads us. Lord Jesus, I bring you no words, no petitions with me right now. Just a moment to be still and commune with you in gratitude and love, using all of my senses to absorb and celebrate your beautiful creation.